Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
You can never put that many personalities on one pole. Like, even when I'm training and Nathan's training, we're sure we're brothers, but like something always happens where you have a disagreement.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
All right, bang on 7:30 on a Thursday. It is a very special day for us today in Off the Ball Towers. We're saying farewell to John Giles. It's a celebration for him. It's happening tonight at the Sugar Club. You're going to see some of that content coming your way on our social channels tonight, and then it'll play out on the radio next week. If you have favourite Gilesy memories you want to talk to us about, then this morning would be a good time to share them. 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. You can get us on youtube.com/offtheball. Andrew Mangan is going to join us at 8:05 to talk about the excitement building around Arsenal's off-season and just how close they are to finally winning a Premier League title. We have our hurling analysts who we asked to collaborate on an all-star team and they just couldn't do it. We're going to have like 25 all-stars by the end of Bernard Dwyer and Sarah's team from 8:30. And then Brian Kerr's, you had to be there. Very special. Had to be there, recorded in front of a live studio audience, a captive audience at Altogether. Now, we were all there.
Yeah, we were.
What were your highlights?
Of Brian Kerr?
Oh, just generally of Altogether now.
Oh, Nelly Furtado.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I wasn't there.
Owen had a great chat with her.
I'd gone home. Owen had a great chat with her.
Sat down with Nelly Furtado.
I thought you were asking about the Go Loud related highlights.
I can give you one of that as well. Sure.
No, tell us about Nelly Furtado. Really?
You weren't there.
No, I was at home.
There. You wouldn't understand.
You had to be there. You had to be there.
That's Dara's first entry.
It was in the rain, lashing rain.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
But it kind of worked.
That was
suited the gig. Like,
did she fly like a bird?
Like, she sang like a bird. She didn't physically fly like a bird, but
she there's one. It's kind of the Gareth Bale music. She changed position massively. She started off with kind of this. Almost like, you know, nature-loving, kind of hippie-like music from the 70s. But I'm like a bird. I only fly away. I don't know where my home is. And then she ended up being...
Man-eater.
A man-eater.
Yeah.
She moved from the countryside into the city, basically.
Right.
She went from left back to up front.
Very good. did the musical style not evolve quite significantly too?
Pink went the opposite way. Do you remember Pink?
I do remember Pink.
She started off, I think, hip-hoppy, and then she took the place of Nelly Furtado, so she went back in defence.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to one of her gigs? She has like a setup where she flies around the stadium.
Pink.
She literally flies like a bird.
There you go. Yeah. I knew we were going to bring her up, you see. I haven't been to her, but I remember being a fan of Pink for a while. Good music, like, turn of the century.
I mean, they kind of ruined by David Brent doing the... coming up, and you're like, okay, that's ruined her career. Yeah, you know, it's similarly Craig David being ruined by your man. To go back to the festival though, it was good. You would recommend, next year's FOMO, people should get tickets and come and see us at the
Club. Yeah. Well, it's a relatively new festival. I think it's only been around since 2018, but. Last year, say, or even this year, tickets were on sale up to just a couple months before. Now I'd say it's going to sell out just like EP would. We had a great time though. There's some really good guests. Davey Russell was great. You sat down with him.
Yeah, we'll play that out next week.
Yeah, that was a great chat. Some Shifty Lad was saying C-Matt in the comments. She was class.
Yes,
we were all at that, were we?
C-Matt was amazing.
Yeah. Primal Scream was quite good.
Very good.
Primal Scream.
Yeah.
It's great. He was tantalising with the greatest hits. But everyone was singing in the rain. That was very atmospheric.
Yeah.
So did it go from Primal Scream to Nelly Furtado?
Yeah. I missed Nelly though. That's the one thing I missed, which I would have liked to have seen. And she clipped it on her socials there, her best album from Altogether now. Ah. Saw that in my travels.
Very good. Mm. All right. Well, let's talk about, Thomas Frank was going to be waking up. One game in, one trophy down. What a start to his Spurs career. And then things got a little bit blown off track. I was like, I was going to come in and do my lap of honour. I told you Spurs, good team, good squad. Three at the back, interesting. Different little wrinkle from him. Oh, they're going to play those. Oh, going to get all his best players in the field. I'm interested in this. They did create a lot of chances. They did go 2-0 up. They did lose the game.
Yeah.
What, do we have takeaways on this?
And three at the back turned into 11 at the back for the last half an hour, really.
Does it not matter because it's only the charity shield, except a little bit? It wasn't even a Monaco. I mean, it used to be like, oh, this is glitz and glam.
Yeah.
Played in front of 8,000 people.
I love the walkout where they both pick up the trophy.
That is
pretty cool, isn't it?
Is that new? Because I haven't seen that.
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever watched a full one of these games.
What, they share the trophy like the Lions?
No.
So they had both trophies.
Champions League.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Captains picked them up and walked on with them.
So Spurs' new captain, Cristi Romero, did that.
Mm.
Yeah. They look good, you know. As you say, you called it yesterday. Decent looking squad. They still need to add to it. Mohamed Kudus is quite good. He had an early fluff of a pass within a couple of minutes, put it out for a throw. Other than that, he was fairly dangerous. Set up Richarlison.
Glenn Hoddle was saying his West Ham pals were like, oh, thanks for taking him off us, mate. I'm like, were they really? Are they delighted that...
Okay. Forced a good save from the keeper. The new Paris Saint-Germain goalkeeper, who had a howler for Cristi Romero's goal.
Great game, though.
The Donnarumma clan would have been watching that with glee at home. But I'd say it's difficult for Spurs to be too down on themselves. You know, a lot of people praising the fact that Thomas Frank sacrificed winning a trophy because now he can't get sacked.
Hey. I actually don't get it.
Because if you win a European trophy as Spurs manager, you get sacked.
Okay, sorry. Okay, bad.
And so they looked like they were going to do that. And they and Luis Enrique said to TNT Sports afterwards that Spurs were the better side. He actually asked the interviewer, what do you think? Who do you think were better? And he said Spurs were. Well, I don't know about that. Like PSG dominated possession, but they changed the game when Fabian Ruiz came on for Kvaratskhelia, bang on the hour mark.
Mm.
And then Kang came on, who scored the first of the two goals. And then Gonzalo Ramos got the equalizer, he came on. So the substitutions made a big difference.
You were making the point off air that PSG have just returned to training.
They were 3 weeks on leave, on holidays, after the Club World Cup final. So they only returned last week. And Fabian Ruiz, as I say, only came on and there was no João Neves. So they missed 2/3 of their Champions League winning midfield. But it was probably like fairly important for them to win it in the end, having lost the Club World Cup final in fairly spectacular fashion. That if they had lost another one, you know, to a Chelsea and a Spurs outfit who aren't vintage at the moment by their own standards, historically, wouldn't have been a great look. Wouldn't have been that important. Essentially, this is their both pre-season tournaments slash final.
Well, I think the prize money for the Club World Cup is massive. The prize money for this is irrelevant.
No, I'm not about winning the trophies. Like, I'm about, you know, being trophied, getting into the habit of winning all around you.
They just won the Champions League. And they win the league every year.
Yeah, but they needed, they probably still need to add one or two players, PSG, so it's fresh, so that they don't get complacent for the season ahead.
Another one of the superstar, greatest defence of all time in the Premier League.
Zabarni from Bournemouth, yeah, who've lost 3/4 of their defence from last season now. In France, they're not going to be challenged, so, and they proved last year that in the Champions League format, the first part of the season, they finished about like mid-table in that, and they got through. So you could argue that PSG don't really have to get going until around February.
Yeah, you've time to peak now. Yeah.
So it's a position to be like now. Luis Enrique is a very demanding manager, but basically it's not definitive what happens in the next 6 months for PSG. They can kind of ease their way into the season.
Oh, totally. It's the opposite.
For Spurs, it's a good start. They looked a completely different unit to the Ange Postecoglou side from only a few months ago. Much more solid. They play three at the back. Two of their three defenders scored the goals and their other one nearly made it 3-0. Kevin Danzo has a header that's side netting right after they go 2-0 up.
Mm.
And that could have changed it. But as soon as Ruiz came on for PSG, about 10 minutes later, it started changing. They had a disallowed goal as well before they got their first goal back. It's just the manner of the way that they lost it is like, you know, very Spursy, whatever way you want to throw at them. But overall, they were better than I thought they were going to be, Spurs.
Yeah. Richarlison was quite good as well.
He has it in him, you know. He has a big game in him. I think he likes performing against the bigger sides, proving he can do it. And he had a nice old battle with Marquinhos as well. They're speaking away to each other.
He's only 28. Like, is there a world in which he matures and becomes a better player? I was thinking the same about Kai Havertz. We're going to talk about Arsenal at 8 o'clock, 8:05 with Arsblog. And like, Havertz is still a young man. He's had that body transformation over the summer.
Yeah, I saw that picture. I was wondering, was it real?
Oh yeah,
that he looks enormous.
He put it all up on his own Instagram.
Not a Gareth Bale change there from.
Well, that's what you want, him stepping up his game now. That Gyökeres is coming and he's like, oh, this may be what I needed.
He thinks he's going to play. There's Miguel Delaney speculating that he'll get in the team ahead of Odegaard in some of the
in some of the big
games when you want to physically brutalise the opposition.
But don't mind these starting 11 conversations. You know, it'll be mass rotation throughout the season.
Okay, but I mean, it is interesting that sometimes you're not resting Odegaard, you're giving Kai Havertz the nod ahead of him because you think it's better.
It's like a
team's
Will Connors' job for Leinster when he used to get put in against La Rochelle.
Is that another?
I'm getting a call at 20 to 8 in the morning.
Oh yeah,
it's a number I don't recognise.
Answer it there.
Do you ever think when you answer, if you answer it, this will change my life?
Yeah, go on, answer it. Come on.
Hello.
Here we go. This is an interesting.
Should probably put on speaker. Really.
Hello.
The taxi driver, I'd say.
You are.
Oh, this is actually real. Whoa. This is exciting.
This is a great listen for
087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Colin just answered his phone live on air.
It was a scam.
Was it?
This is Colin I'm talking to, yeah. I'm calling you from the visa department in Dublin.
Oh, you should have played along, stick him on speaker there. We would have.
I can't, you see, because I would have got too into it, forgot I was on the show, started speaking a bit differently, and I was thinking to myself, visa application.
Oh, are you applying for a visa or a visa card?
Trying to move away from us here.
Yeah, what's the story here?
What's going on?
That's the first. That would be you're right about that now. If that was the story, he took a call about a visa application. Now I wonder what that was about.
Knowing your name is that unusual.
That's because usually you know there was, so you could hear the background noise in it.
Where was the phone? Where was the number from?
087.
Ah, you should have stuck that on speaker. We would have had a bit of crack.
Yeah,
I can ring him back.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just working. You could probably hear it on the mic though a little bit, but there was background noise, so the call centre vibe to it.
Yeah,
so it could be legitimate. Like, could be there's a few bills recurring at the moment, you know. So I said, I should
ring them back.
This could be Borgash, because we need to get our boiler serviced. So I said, fine, they're coming out. Then the visa was mentioned. Now I did get a visa application for America when I went there a few years ago. I wonder, has it been retrospectively revoked?
Potentially. Off the Wall Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Will we get into Marcus Rashford? Arthur's not here. This is very disappointing that Arthur's not here to give us his views on the toxic Marcus Rashford. Doesn't come across very toxic in this, does he?
We only did 5 minutes in Spurs.
Do you want to do more?
Do you like the no extra time straight to penalties?
Yeah, yes, love it. All about it. Thanks for asking. All about it. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's just because you and I and the three of us and everyone working here in production and beyond
gets up early because it's
handy for us, because the sooner you get to bed, the better. But extra time in a Super Cup would be completely needless.
Yeah.
Now, the Champions League final, throw on a half an hour, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, but do you ever like. Not many go to extra time, but even the ones that have, you're not like, God, I remember that extra time, that was class. It's normally just the penalties though, isn't it?
Well, World Cup semi-final in Dortmund, Italy versus Germany, 2-0, extra time, good extra time.
All right.
Del Piero.
You want the extra, like when it's at that level, I would say, I'd say for the World Cup knockout stages.
Yeah, maybe, I think so.
Maybe
I think,
not
I think
for,
you differentiated. I would say the same thing about tennis.
Champions League?
The men's and the Grand Slam is like, I think best of five in the first week of a Grand Slam is excessive.
Yeah.
So I think you could add from the last 16/quarterfinal onwards, throw on best of five for both men's and women's. I think they should do that. But for this, the extra time would have just wrecked my head last night. Unless it was a golden goal.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be Mac golden goal. It was very, very short-lived. I think they got rid of that because of safety concerns. Now, we should look that up before I say it, but I think that's my memory of it, because I did look into this. Why did they get rid of golden and silver goal? And it was crowd worries because the game ends so suddenly.
What's the longest golden goal extra time?
How do you mean?
Does it just keep going?
Oh, no, then you get penalties.
Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's extra time, yeah.
Okay.
But I was delighted with it last night. I was just going to ask me about the Spurs jersey. Which was nice enough, but there was a big pang, a training ground kit off it, right? Do you know why? Because everything was centred.
Oh, yeah.
Crest, Nike, sponsor. Well, when it's all centred.
And the game.
It's usually a training ground
It was. So it also says UEFA Super Cup in the middle.
Yeah,
there.
It's not bad. No, it's not bad.
What's with the brown?
It's fine.
The kind of.
I don't know. They're always skid marks throwing. They're always throwing a brown in for some reason.
I'm like, I don't know.
Is that their historical influence? I don't know. They need to get. They need another midfielder. I'd say Spurs. So they're missing Madison and Kulusevski.
Yeah.
Basuma got disciplined. Pape Sarr played very well last night. Joao Palhinha is going to make a big difference to that midfield.
Yeah.
And Bentancur was good. And he's always good. So they have a good midfield, but I think you need to strengthen there. And I have to remind myself last night when they were turning up, they're playing Champions League this season, so they definitely need more options in midfield and up front. Their defence looks very good. And it did, in fairness, their defence looked good last season as well when it was at its strongest, but that happened infrequently.
I don't ever see Jas Brantwaite has got injured again. He's got hamstring problems. Does that mean Jacob Bryan moves into the middle?
Possibly, yeah.
That'd be interesting. Does that mean James Coleman starts the season at right back for Everton? That'd be amazing.
It would be. Looking forward to
they have
news.
A few other options. But Coleman was playing pre-season and we do know he loves him. So anyway, are we done on Spurs? Or we want to get on to?
Can we transition between Spurs and Max Rashford? I got asked here by DK, did you get your Oasis ticket yet? Not yet. Now it's getting a bit nervy. This is all Ireland final stuff, right? The Thursday on, that's when it starts getting interesting. I have massive faith. I did that morning Ticketmaster last year when it was like 600,000 out in the queue. I did have a feeling that day when I got no ticket that someone will drop out the day before or day of. Something will happen to someone and they won't be able to go to this thing. And that's where you come in last minute. Harry Redknapp job. Come in last minute.
Is it going to happen?
I'm still very confident, having no leads whatsoever. I'm still confident something's going
to
arise.
So you mentally prepared to go to the gig, even though you're not?
Yeah, I prepared everything. I'm preparing as if it's happening. That's
a serious
manifestation.
It's a serious dump if you don't go though.
You can't have that thought in the mind.
Of course.
And these things, right? Can't. So I'm hopeful. Are you going?
I still have no ticket either.
And whoever you ask, like even all the greats of the industry, like not a hope. It's the biggest not a hope answer I've ever got for anything, any event whatsoever.
Really, yeah. Jesus.
But I'm confident, I'm hopeful that someone in the thousands and thousands of people won't be able to go for whatever reason. And I'm hopeful. I tell you who's hopeful for the future. Marcus Rashford.
How do you think he came across? So he sat down for an interview with...
Gary Lineker and Micah Richards on their podcast.
Yeah.
And had the wife beater on. Was very honest and really articulate and very interesting at times. And I don't know if people have seen this, but it's a 2-odd minute clip of him talking about all the problems at Manchester United. And it's quite nuanced. He's quite praiseworthy of the club in ways, saying that they've won a lot of cups. So they actually have the talent to do it, but they have no plan. And that's because they keep changing the manager and all that. And I think it's very good analysis if it was from a journalist or a pundit or an ex-player or whatever. The problem is that he's so implicated in everything that's gone wrong with the club. Like, I mean, he's one of the biggest negatives of the last few years in terms of his form massively dipping and being one of the bigger problems at the club. So you're kind of listening with two minds in that aspect. I think it's a very accurate assessment, but he's talking about himself as well in all of that, I think. Because whatever about the transition between manager to manager and the club philosophy, whatever... He certainly didn't help the cause with his performances. But it's interesting that he said it as still a contracted player to the club.
Yeah. I wonder, is there enough self-awareness there to go, and I was part of the problem? Because that'd be a quantum leap forward in terms of...
Yeah, now I don't know if anyone out there has listened to that full podcast, so perhaps he did have that self-awareness and said that himself, but this is just the clip that's gone viral. We actually have this, don't we?
Yeah,
we have a shortened version of this. So have a listen. This is Marcus Rashford talking with Gary Neville and Micah Richards.
Like, this is what some people forget. So yeah, we've been way below where we deem United to be. But then if you take like a step back, which I've been able to do, especially over like the last 6 months, what do you expect? People say we've been in a transition for years. To be in a transition, you have to start the transition. So it's like the actual transition's not started yet. So like when Liverpool went through this, they got Klopp, they stuck with him. They didn't win in the beginning.
True.
Do you know what I mean? People only remember his final few years when he was, you know, competing with City and winning the biggest trophies.
Didn't win in the beginning. Really tough time.
So it's like to start a transition, you have to make a plan and stick stick to it. So this is the thing that
it's
think.
It's not easy to do though, is it?
If you're it's not easy to do.
If it's not going well, the fans
yeah, yeah,
100%. Demand, you know.
But this is where I speak yeah. about like being realistic with like what your situation is. I feel like we've had that many different managers and different ideas and different like strategies in order to win. You end up in the middle of, yeah. like you end up in no man's land.
So, does it hurt you?
Yeah, 100%. But not only as like a player, just yeah, as like I'm a United as a fan.
What did you say there?
Tommy Gorman.
Yeah. You're hurting Roy, aren't you?
Yeah, of course I am. And of course he is. Look, so that's only a snippet of it. There's actually a longer version of that clip, about double the length. And I think that's all very reasonable, that assessment.
The one thing is, they do have a plan. They are sticking to it, and he wasn't part of it. The new guy has come in and is actually the answer to all of those issues.
So I think you have to take that interview into context as well, that it's a very live issue for Rashford. Of course, he's massively hurt that he's been shafted, the most shafted of all the players that aren't wanted. Like what did Amorim say last season, that he would play like one of his fitness coaches, goalkeeping coach, over Rashford? Like the guy was not having it from nearly day one. I think he started the first game. In fact, did he not, was it against Ipswich the first day of the season? Was it Ahmad or himself scored the first goal for United under Amorim? So he was playing at the start. But very quickly, Amorim wasn't having him. So like everything Rashford's saying, there's also that in mind as well. So it doesn't mean that he didn't have a point.
Do you think there's a coach that he is referring to there when he says that you need to stick to someone? Because he's obviously not talking about Amorim. Talking about the last few years.
Well, in the longer version, he goes through all the managers. So he has something to say about all of them. But I couldn't tell if he had a preference for any of them, because he actually had something nice to say about all the managers of the past. And like, sure, what's he going to say about Amorim? Because even if he says something nice, like he's still going to be asked in retort. But sure, like he wasn't having you at all.
Well, the two lads aren't going to ask that.
But is it not interesting to you that he's done this podcast?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like at this time, because he could do it. He could do it in 10 years or 15 years.
The Barcelona link with Lineker is obviously a fairly straightforward thing, and also I think he does have a fairly good handle on media management and getting his story out there, and he's picked a perfect platform for it. It's not one of the Man United things. Like the response from loads of the Man United fans is, "Get your name out of our cut." Our club, out of your mouth. And you're like, all right, okay. I mean, you know. Tommy Martin's got a very nuanced piece about it today where he points out all the incredible things that Marcus Rashford has done. Like when you look to many of the young footballers, some of whom are, you know, feckless and whatever, that's not him. He is engaged with society and humanity on a different level. And I think he's a smart fella and he's going to have a really interesting post-football career, whatever he does.
Definitely.
And did he finally get registered for Barcelona? Is he not allowed to play the first league game? Is he going to play?
Oh, yeah.
Is there like a Danny Almo thing? Well, like, so he's been playing in pre-season, yeah, so I don't know about the competitive games. But the issue with Rashford was that he ended up offering so little when he picked the ball up on the left and he would do the same thing over and over again. And actually, you kind of saw a bit of that Aston Villa after novelty wore off, is that like, there is pace to him and he's a great right foot, great finish, but there's actually very little to his game. It's just there's a rawness to it at its best that
he was
can't
very
really
decent
control.
In the big games for Villa, and I think it'll be interesting to see how successful he is at Barcelona. I don't think he's busted yet. I think like a lot of these players, you know, the whole thing about the jersey being heavy and the scrutiny at Barcelona is as big, if not bigger, than it is at it probably is bigger than that. There's two daily sports newspapers and they have a 1,000 press conferences, yeah. Whereas there's fewer of that stuff in. And there's access to the mix zones much easier in Spanish football than there is in English football.
I'd love to watch him in training at Barcelona and how he hangs with the passing and the technique of it too. Because it goes back to what I was saying yesterday, is that like all of these players at United who have been disastrous for various reasons over the last couple of seasons, they're obviously all unbelievable players to get to that level in the first place.
He
right?
says that, yeah.
So you,
in that clip, he says that.
So that is, so it's proven.
That's why we win the Cups. We're all really, really good.
You could see that with Rashford. Probably can see it with Barcelona, if he's allowed play, if he's given a bit of freedom.
Yeah.
There won't be massive expectation on him there because there are other options at Barcelona. They don't need him to start. So the pressure's off. Will that suit him a bit more? Because Villa, they didn't rely on him so much. But if he wasn't playing in a big game, you talk about it. It's like, oh, well, why, you know, why are Villa not starting Rashford in this game?
Yeah.
With Barca, he has to prove a point. They don't need him. It'll be interesting to see how he reacts to that. Because when he came through at United under Van Gaal in 2016, he was a shining light for a couple of years. But But he's gone down with the club and the culture of it, needed a massive reset. And it's the same question I'd have, say, for Jack Grealish going to Everton, is what version of Grealish are Everton going to get? Is it the one with Man City, who, a bit like Rashford, ended up being very limited in his game and what he could actually do? Or is it the free-flowing, carefree one that we saw at Villa / Rashford in his early years at United?
Rashford looks fitting well.
Because he's away, and he's away from the country too. And I know, like, the Spanish media will be massive on him too at times.
But he won't be the biggest star there.
He won't be the biggest. They're not relying on him. It's not like
the 18-year-old with the slightly dodgy birthday party is a much bigger story than...
Barcelona resort to emergency measures to register Marcus Rashford.
They had to deregister Marc-Andre ter Stegen.
And some of the board members are putting their own personal wealth into it.
All right.
Get over the line.
That was a slightly dodgy thing when it's like, we're loaning the thing that we're running money to make sure that it continues to be able to function. All right. Jack Byrne has had a row, it appears, with the manager at Shamrock Rovers and is not part of the Shamrock Rovers squad for a massive game for them tonight. Yeah. Now, I don't know, if they win this game, right, there's a strong chance that they end up having to go to the Azores to play the Portuguese team who qualified for the Conference League. Mm-hmm. That would be tricky to get through that tie, but Rovers really need to. You know, they will have banked money from last year, but a lot of that would have gone out in bonuses to the players, as we were talking about with Stewie yesterday. So they kind of need to be in the Europa Conference League. They're 1-0 down heading into the game tonight. Bit of pressure on. And Jack Byrne, clearly one of the better players in the league over the last while. Nathan was raving about his form as recently as 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it appears as if it's been reported in the Examiner and the Indo, I think both John Fallon and Dan McConnell have it, that there was a row about a pre-match training session ahead of the Derry game where it was 11v11 and there was like a first 11 and a second 11, and apparently Jack Byrne was in the second 11. Words were spoken, strong words, it appears. Words that might be tricky to take back. And he's been left out of the squad.
Yeah.
So who knows what happens here? Because obviously he'd be one of their higher earners and a very important player for many other teams in the league if he was to become available. Maybe he goes to England. Maybe they solve it. Maybe cooler heads prevail over the next while, because you do feel like he has plenty to offer that team.
It's a conundrum for Jack Byrne, I'd imagine. So this all happened when we were living it up and all together now. It was the August bank holiday when they had the falling out. And I'd imagine Byrne, first of all, knows himself and is probably told quite often that he's the best player in the league on his day, he's the most naturally gifted, is the most superior, even within Shamrock Rovers and across the league. And even last year in Rovers' run in Europe, a bit like Rashford or Barcelona we're talking here, wasn't central to it, wasn't absolutely key to anything Shamrock Rovers did in Europe. Great to have, brilliant option, but not central. I'd say it must be quite difficult for Jack Byrne. He's had to compete and combat all the injuries that he's had. He's had moves away which haven't quite worked out, and he's come back again. And he's in this very strange purgatory, almost an island on itself of Jack Byrne, is that exceptional in this country, has the potential to succeed in Europe, has never really quite worked out.
Yeah.
He's in a funny place now, because you can easily lose the motivation if you're in that sphere of, I know how gifted I am, I probably should be at a higher level, but my manager doesn't actually think I'm that crucial. And I imagine maybe that's what manifested in this argument, that Jack Byrne can't believe he's in the second 11. How he put me here, like, how he put me all the way down this pecking order in this club where I'm probably the best player here on my day. And Stephen Bally says, I don't think you are, not anymore.
Rovers won that game against Derry 2-0. So, you know, as they keep winning, they can 10 points clear.
Not just function without them, they can thrive.
Mm.
And so where does that leave Byrne? Does he move within the league? And if he does, okay, he becomes a big fish in a small pond there. But it's still a question of, Jesus, have I made the most of my career? Yeah. And you can live with that regret live while you play.
I don't know what his wages are as well, but I'd imagine if he stayed in the league, he'd have to probably take somewhat of a cut. But he's obviously spent time in England and Scotland and over in Appleweald, so it's kind of like, he's kind of tried everything.
He's only 29.
He's still only 29.
You know, he's four or five good years left in the league.
Yeah.
Playing in his position. So it'd be interesting. Like, it is a decision that Rovers are going to have to make, but it's in all the papers today ahead of their game tonight, which is a very big game for them, really, when you consider that they've already won the league essentially this year. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to collapse, but as I said, they're 1-0 down against Balkany, who gave them their fill of it on a plastic pitch last week. And Bradley in the papers today is talking about how the team just didn't perform. Sometimes that happens, so they're going to need to do it today. And as I said, if more than likely they'll end up...
Where can we watch this game?
Playing the team. Where can you watch this game? Is it on LOI TV?
I think it's LOI TV. And Pat's game against Beşiktaş, which is essentially a foregone conclusion of the greatest of all shocks, that's on another streaming service.
Yeah.
Sure, you get it on Turkish TV.
I'd imagine if you're over there on holidays, you might be able to get it.
Yeah.
The Irish hockey team, the women's hockey team, went out at the European Championships yesterday. Drew with Germany, the hosts, in... Yeah. Is it Gladbach? Is it Mönchengladbach? What's the place?
Mönchengladbach, yeah.
It's Mönchengladbach is the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't manage to score a goal in the three games and didn't qualify. There was a weird series of score lines which could have got them through, even though they'd lost their first two games yesterday, the way things happened. But that game was on terrestrial TV yesterday, if you have the News Now channel.
Which is great.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I think...
It's not a comparative thing about, like, this should be and that shouldn't be, but...
I suppose if that is on, the reason that's on is because... There's a sense that the national broadcaster needs to help the sport of hockey to grow, and that it's an Irish national side, and so therefore it's public service.
Yeah,
which is exactly the same argument you would make about watching Shells.
Yeah,
at the Irish Football Champions. It's a public service, but you know, I'm sure it's much cheaper to get that game. I'd say it was potentially very cost effective to relay the stream. I don't know if they put studio around it or not. I didn't see it, but you know, solid sport is the other.
In other news, I typed in that number that rang me.
Oh yeah,
087-560-6311, and you know what shows up? Dublin City Council.
Oh,
do you need a visa to?
I need a visa to live here. Is this a Cork thing?
It is a Cork thing. Yeah. They've heard you giving out about...
But you know, it's one of those Google searches, right, where part of the number is crossed off,
yeah,
so they can't find the exact match. There's a third link here from Reddit, who else is getting the scam, but it's not the exact number.
All right.
So I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated.
Mm. Sorry, if the scammer is watching this morning, call back.
Call back, yeah. I can't call you, though.
What do you think about Spurs 3 at the back last night?
The original scam fear was that if you answered at all your money was gone.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the first one. If you literally answered, it was like your bank account would go to zero.
It was one of those premium lines, except reversed. Well, now that's not true. You can't get the conversations with them.
Yeah, so that sounded like... Did you hear any of it at all?
How is that column?
No. It sounded... It's a professional setup. I'm into this now. Hope they're
live by a policy to, I don't pick up, but if it's important enough, they'll ring twice or leave a voicemail.
Do Gen Z answer the phone?
No, they don't.
No.
They never speak.
Even if it's your mother.
Whatever you do.
If mom parents. Comes up.
I'll screen it.
Yeah. Send it through.
We should talk about the Cavan football situation. Are you excited? There's been a resolution. Yoink, thanks very much. We'll have you. There's a pecking order established and Cavan are ahead of Westmeath.
Yeah, so Raven Gallaghan obviously stepped down a bit unexpectedly there a few weeks ago. And the search quickly got narrowed down to two names. One being Finbar O'Reilly from Arva, who's won a junior All-Ireland with Arva and has managed in a couple of different clubs around the country. Also has won a Macquarie Cup with St. Patrick's College Cavan. And the other name was Dermot McCabe, who was current manager. Or was the current manager of Westmeath. But he's come home. Dermot McCabe obviously being a former All-Star for Cavan. Big name in that 97 team. And he was also, while managing Westmeath, actively had a job in Cavan GAA as head of games.
Wow. Kind of interest.
There's a bit of a, yeah, and while managing against Cavan. But he's come home.
Well, nothing's going to show you what you're missing out on a bit. And yeah. I think that's all fair enough. I think that everybody's like getting their knickers in a twist about this stuff. It's similar with those jobs are very important jobs, but they're not actually the senior team job. That's a different role.
It's just the optics of it, though.
The optics.
You're going as LinkedIn.
Need to get
it's
over.
Like working for Bose Cab and last week.
Full-time employees are entitled to do what they want in their spare hours. And if the county board at the time was like, oh no, we don't want you, like, you're actually really good.
Well, maybe it's more in Westmeath.
We missed our opportunity. Yeah. Westmeath are smart. They're looking around going, who's actually investing in football all day, every day, thinking about nothing but football? Yeah, we'll have you.
It's hardly smart. It's backfired massively on them now. They don't have a manager.
We'll see. All right. Shots fired at Westmeath, not even here to defend themselves.
Surprisingly enough, though, it hasn't been received massively well.
Really?
By a few Cavan. Like, it's a bit mixed. Now, I think a lot of people would have liked to see Finbar because he's been in Cavan for the last few years, proven winner. Has won in Croke Park now, albeit not for an inter-county team, but he's also played for Cavan for a long time. Now, Dermot, a much better player, really. But some of the reaction has been a bit mixed. But, like, he had one season with Westmeath. It wasn't great. They lost a lot. But, like, let the man in. let's see what happens, like, you know?
They lost a lot of heartbreaking defeats, didn't they?
Yeah, like, it was a lot of close games. It wasn't like they were getting hammered out the gate every game.
Yeah.
No, they were really good in patches, and they would have beaten Kildare, potentially, if their best player hadn't gone off injured. So,
yeah, true. Let us know what you think of the Cavan situation. 087-560-6311. Do let us know. Are we done?
We're done.